This week on the Reflex Blue Show, we bring you Joseph Duffy of Duffy & Partners.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Reflex Blues Show, and we have back our co-host, Nate Voss.
Oh, my God. What am I even doing here?
Welcome to Room 3000.
Room 3000.
Of the Muscogee West San Francisco Center.
This really ridiculously large room.
There is a maximum occupancy of 156 this room.
But you can knock down that wall. Maybe both of these walls, maybe all of these walls can come down. I think that we could actually get this quite a bit bigger if we need to.
I think the only time we've ever done an interview in a bigger room than this was the second interview we ever did with Joe Duffy.
Isn't that
It was like seven
prescient.
And a half years ago.
God, that was so long ago. I think the elder and they Joe just, Duffy was
they
in
just
Des Moines.
And they just hooked us up in the room that he spoke in, this big conference center.
Big auditorium place.
And it might be the only room we've recorded in larger.
You cannot hear him speak. That was before we knew to do sound checks.
Damn.
And we're hanging out. And he's just like, man, let's talk about design or something. Sure. And it's just like, yeah.
I was hoping that this room could be bigger than the room that you interviewed my father. Could we maybe move a wall or two?
Well, what we can do is Moo Mao is speaking on the other side
of
this
wall. Oh, shit, is he right now?
So we can just open that up, and we can have probably, you know, three times the room. And Nate is running across the room. And
there's definitely some action going on in that
He is sneaking underneath the wall, and he's working his way back here. He's doing wind sprints to get to and from this wall.
I had no idea.
It's so large.
There's got to be some way we can mess with him.
Okay, and with that, we bring it's Joseph Duffy, Joe Duffy the Fourth, Joe Duffy.
I'm Joseph Patrick Duffy the Fourth.
Okay.
Yes.
And do you go by Joseph, Joe?
I go by Joseph through work and family, just so we can differentiate the two Joes in the office.
Yeah.
And usually Joe by other people. So
what does the
anyway.
Tattoo say? Because you seem to have a rad Joe Duffy the Fourth tattoo.
Yes.
Half sleep man.
That's nice.
I'm gonna take a picture of that.
That's some top stuff.
Oh, yeah. Donovan, you got an actual camera.
Yeah,
I'm gonna let
actually,
you take a picture
have
of that.
A real camera here. Hold on, Nate needs a flex next to it.
No, I need to stay as far away from flexing as that. That's pretty rad.
Yeah, once you wait 35 years to get a tattoo, you kind of go...
You just go for
pretty
it.
Pretty big, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Now I have many more that I would like to do at some point.
Yeah. Nice.
Someday.
Good color quality on that.
Thank you. It matches my red shirt.
Yeah.
So it's good.
You've got a thing going.
Blend in, yeah.
You must be in design. What do you do for a living?
So Joseph, what do you do? Now, you're obviously at Duffy.
Yes.
What's your role there?
So I am a partner at the firm, and I am the design director, which is basically a designer with a good last name, and I work with a bunch of other designers. And
how many people are there right now?
So we have about 13 people full-time,
mm-hmm.
Anywhere from up to about 20 people in the office any given time, with freelance writers and production people, accountant, IT, and then we bring in staff depending on our workload.
Right, all those super, like, yeah, IKEA, like the IKEA store that you guys have.
Right.
Like IT and accounting, the people that you never think to count when you're like, oh, we've got a huge shop.
That's right.
Super vital, turns out, to running a business, having accountants. So, thank you. It's been a great show. I'm out of here.
Now, Duffy, you guys are still focusing on, is it packaging? Is that your main, kind of your bread and butter? Is that what you do, or do you focus on?
It's like consumer-facing brand design,
Let me tell you what Duffy is, branding and packaging is like some of the best in the nation at it.
Appreciate
and
that.
I didn't know if that's how you guys saw it, or if you guys were like, oh, no, we're a web shop now.
No, I'd say we're mostly in branding. Brand ID. Packaging has been kind of our biggest, one of our most well-known components of of design, but we don't always do packaging. A lot of times we do projects where packaging kind of gets us in, and then we work on fleshing out the brand in as many avenues as possible. It's kind of our gateway in sometimes, but we do a lot of packaging, consumer-facing packaging, and we do experiential design. We do interior restaurants and workspaces, mm-hmm. and a little bit of interactive stuff, and kind of anything we can get our hands on.
Yeah. What do you find is the biggest challenge when working with, like, packaging as compared to other stuff? Like what is it that you guys do that you think makes it so that you can do it so well?
You know, our biggest thing is, and we kind of preach about this a lot, is to, whatever the brand is, whatever the identity is in the brand language, we try to build as big of a toolbox as possible. So when we do take something like packaging into consideration, we're customizing that specific application. And a lot of times people will slap, you know, a logo on the front of something, on the front of the shirt, on the front of the package, on the front of the billboard or whatever it is. And we really try to take each piece separately and customize that particular piece in a package with multi-dimensional and using all kinds of different materials. We try to bring that brand to life in as many ways as we can. That's exciting.
I like what you said there. I think you called it a toolkit. Like and that was something that I picked up a long time ago from talking with your dad. And is it cool that I call him your... If I just, like, sure. throw it out there, like, your dad? Absolutely. Like, I'm talking about my dad that's sitting on the couch.
Refer to him as your boss.
Yeah. As Joe. I think I had visual vocabulary is what he called it once in a conversation that we had in an earlier show many moons ago. And I found that to just be one of the most valuable things that you can create for a client, because... What I'll see a lot of times, I see this so much, especially, you know, because, I mean, you guys know this, when you work for a larger company or a larger client, you're never working as their sole partner, right? So there's always going to be another agency or someone else in-house or out-of-house doing more work for them. And I used to see this a lot more than I do now, but you would just get this very strict document that it can only be branded this certain way in these certain sizes and certain typefaces and certain colors, and that's all that it can be ever. It's this. And you guys, I think, have taken, in many instances that I've seen, this approach of having this wider vocabulary, this toolkit, where you can pull in all these different parts and pieces and make something new when something new comes up instead of holding right. something back. Could you talk a little bit more about how you guys go about that process of building those? Like, what is it like in the office? Like, what are you doing with your hands?
Yeah, you know, we have a great little, we call it the paste-up room, is just full of paper samples and X-Acto knives and a little half-assed photo booth and, you know, a scanner and things like that, where we're constantly mocking up different bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of make these little models and set them all up on the table and make sure everything hangs together. And our biggest thing is to try to make sure everything hangs together, no matter what it is. And, you know, we always cite, like, an Apple or someone where you see a product, you don't need to see the logo or the name, you know exactly who's talking to you. And mm-hmm. we really do our best to for all of our clients to kind of have that, where I don't care what it is, but you do have this toolbox of parts and pieces. And if you think about, I'm going to do a brochure this time, I'm going to do a package this time, you kind of dig through that box and find, you know, an exciting combination of pieces mm-hmm. to create something that really says it's the brand but doesn't necessarily have the exact same thing as the T-shirt or the uniform or whatever else.
Right, like it's all speaking the same language. It all comes from the same place, but it allows for this, like, variation in the conversation with the customer.
Is this a process you guys came up with yourself, or is it something that kind of evolved over time, or did you guys kind of steal it from somebody?
I was going to say, did Joe steal that from somebody else? He did, and he's,
you know,
a shifty dude.
Yeah, he's kind of a thief that way. You know, I'm not. I don't know when we started doing it, but I do know that we have practiced it for as long as I've been in the industry. And, you know, a lot of our clients we're finding have pretty extensive internal groups. And so we have kind of adapted our shift to not just say we need to create the brand language and own it and create every application that you could ever do and make sure our hands are the only ones to touch it, because that's not really a realistic business model.
That's something that might have worked 30 years ago, but it doesn't work anymore.
Exactly. And, you know, we're not here to take any in-house groups out of business. We want to work with them. Sometimes it's great to get some fresh blood in there to try to tackle strategically where the brand needs to go or what they want to do. And so we will kind of try to develop this original, maybe new idea or new strategy, create a couple of executable files to kind of show how it could come to life. And then we pass the toolbox off and allow the in-house group to take it and run wild. And that's, you know, a successful relationship right there. That's what we're always going for.
Do you want to take a quick break?
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I guess we're going to talk about what you're actually speaking about here now.
Okay.
All right, so Joseph, what are you actually, which are you speaking at the HOW conference proper, the Dieline, the in-house?
I am doing the Dieline.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense because the Dieline is the packaging specific area. What are you actually speaking about at the Dieline?
It's a good question. I should know what I'm speaking about.
You have
about.
Not even prepared your talk. It's in like an hour.
Right. Okay, I've been looking for this. I'll be next door in 3001.
Yeah, I'm still fine-tuning the presentation. No, but... what I tend to always talk about, and I do a lot of the tours at our shop, and I speak at a lot of the student groups and more at functions like these, but our process is kind of one of our most important tools, and mm-hmm. that is how we start and how we finish and kind of how we approach every single project, no matter who it's for or... doesn't matter how big the client is or how small the client is, we always kind of start with this visual brief process. And last year I spoke about the visual brief, and this year, you know, the goal is to try to, again, reiterate that fact and show some new work and a lot of the problems that we have faced and a lot of problems that larger brands are facing themselves with. So they're kind of getting old and stale. They're kind of, the little kids on the block are now stepping up and taking market share away from kind of the big players, and so the big players need to kind of evaluate what's good and what should continue moving forward and what kind of we don't need anymore, what's kind of the excess.
Is part of the reason for that because the little guys can just move faster?
I think so. I think they're able to kind of take more risks, and you know, some of these big, huge companies that might have a packaging presence, they these American brands, a lot of them, they seem to be much more hesitant about taking a leap, and they kind of have stayed the same for a long amount of time, and now they're little guys who are just, again, they can take more risks, are popping up and taking over market share, and so these big guys have to kind of figure out, you know, what do we have to keep? And we're the type of company that'll come in and really do an honest evaluation. We really get up to speed and do a lot of soul searching and kind of digging into the history of brands and try to figure out what's the story there, what's meaningful, and what can we bring forward. And then how can we do it in a relevant way that today's audience is going to be interested in.
Like on average, how long would you say you spend in that part of the process?
You know, we really... upload the how do I say it? We really heavily invest in the upfront. We have a very simple 3-step process, which is we call imagine, design, and activate. And the imagine process is, you know, a couple months of intensive kind of research. We go out and shop. We interact with the products. We interview people. We go to their corporate headquarters, we go to the plants, you know, if it's a spirits industry, we drink the booze, we see the booze get made. That's a real tough part of the job.
Very difficult things.
Very, very difficult. But we really try to get up to speed and understand every single thing we can about this brand and where it came from and where it wants to go. And then we dig into the, you know, the competition. We try to find analogies from different brands. If there's nothing in that actual category, we'll go to different categories. Mm-hmm. And we try to do this huge report on where, what they told us, and we try to kind of dissect all that information and report it back to them. Because a lot of times we could take a brand and we could say, we interviewed all these key players that you told us to interview. One of them says, you can't get rid of the color red because the color red is the most important thing that we have going for us. And then the next person we interview could say, God, we got to get rid of red because red is the worst color ever and everybody's doing it. And we will take those quotes and we will present them right back to the client and say, okay, we can go with red or we don't have to go with red, but you guys need to figure it out so we can all be on the same page. And that's that imagine process is really trying to get everybody on the same page before we start taking any steps with design.
That's like, that is really, very thorough. That is, I mean, I was expecting like a month. You're looking at
you know,
projects.
Drink
that
a case
through.
Of the spirits, call yeah. it good.
Right. 6.5 minutes if you're Donovan. Yeah. I don't know. They got a website, right? It didn't come up. And I don't know. They probably sell beer. Do you? I mean, that in and of itself sounds like a thing of such tremendous value. Do clients come to you guys for just that ever?
Usually not. Usually they come to us and we kind of present what. We always say that, you know, the only way to get work in this business is to produce great work and get it out there.
Right.
And they have
great
to
work begets great work.
Exactly. Right. And so, I mean, we have a pretty strict policy. If there's anything that we do that we wouldn't show on our website, we just won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's easier said for some than others. And, you know, I credit my father for not taking on, you know, kind of charting that territory. I mean, he's had to take on all kinds of work that he didn't want to do in the past, but today's version of,
you
of
could,
Duffy, we can turn down business.
Yeah, you
it's
can you
right
can work
us.
Your way up to that. It's hard to do.
Yeah, it took him a long time. So people like me, the next generation, we're very fortunate that our office runs on that as opposed to before he had to work up to that. So, you know, like I said, we're very grateful. But we we'll present how we work in, again, analogies that we'll pull cases together from different projects we've worked on. We'll present that to the client and talk about all the specific things that we gathered and learned and synthesized and present that to the client. And they usually pick us because of our process and, mm-hmm. and what we do. But we usually don't, if there's not a design deliverable at the end of the tunnel, I mean, we don't. We probably could have that kind of aspect of the business, but we always want to have a.
You guys want to play to your strengths.
Absolutely,
so it makes sense. Well, I'm not saying that's not.
I
your
can
strength,
only imagine
it, yeah.
that conversation if you did sign on for mega amazing fun brand to do that work for, that at the very end of it, it's just a slide that says, "Hey, and you should probably hire us to do this. Look at all this amazing stuff right. we just brought to you guys. Come on, right. let's just make this happen."
Sure.
Where do you want to go from here, Donovan?
Well, we're gonna take one final break, and then we're gonna talk about other stuff.
You want to talk about Superman? This podcast isn't gonna come out for a couple months.
Have you seen Man of Steel yet?
I have not.
I haven't either.
You guys, let's go. We've got a couple hours till the kickoff, right? There's amazing punching in that movie.
I know.
Some of the best punching I've ever seen in movies.
Maybe
the best punching.
What's the second best punching you've seen in a movie?
I don't
know. Is it Fight Club?
Maybe Indiana Jones because of the sound effects.
Nice. Oh, yeah, he does good punching.
There's really good punching in Indiana
Jones.
I would
like
say that the punching in Man of Steel is superior to Indiana Jones punching. And that
wow.
is saying a lot.
All right, so awesome. I forgot,
kind
you guys
involved.
Just rebranded Mall of America.
We did.
And I really liked it, because you guys kept, I was showing it to my wife, and she saw just the logo, and she's like, and I think she just saw like something, and she's like, I don't know if I get it, and I was like, you're not seeing the whole thing, because if you look at just the logo of Mall of America that you guys did, it's good.
Right.
But the really thing that stands down is, no, I mean, it is.
That's fine. I mean, you know.
It's no, I mean.
It's a logo.
It's a nice logo.
I didn't.
But it's,
I didn't
it's not
see
like you'd
anyone...
show, if you know, if I would show you the logo, you'd be like, yeah, it looks good.
I didn't see anyone online burning it in effigy, which is what happens when you redesign most any logo.
No, that logo, I mean, the old logo was.
It was,
you
it
would
was
not
kind of
say
a non.
It was good. You
I would,
probably wouldn't say anything about it at all.
That's right. Cool. It was kind of a non-starter.
Well, that is a logo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the new one, you're like, yeah, that's a good logo. And then the real thing, though, is how you guys built it out. I was really, you know, because it's not, you left the star, but you made it into
yes.
a ribbon and a gift. And what was the idea? Like, who's, was it any one person's on the team's idea, or is it something a few of you guys came up with together?
Yeah, well, we have a designer, one of our senior designers, Ken Sakurai, who's worked with us for a long time. And he created that, which... we're all blown away by it. And
oh, yeah.
And I think what the
listeners
biggest,
can't tell that I'm looking at my phone and interrupting right
and
now.
And he's finally looking at the whole thing, how it builds out. So mm-hmm. he went from the looking at the logo and you went, yeah. And then you're like, oh, yeah, see, I told you.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Well, and I think that's it's a good point. You know, a logo is a logo. And without context, logos are hard to, you know, justify or appreciate. And I feel like what we try to do, and again, going back to our process, is really trying to take as much subjectivity out of the design process, which is very hard to do, but we do our best in our upfront to try to remove subjectivity. And I think what we did here, which we're very excited about, is we have kind of shown how not only the old logo inspired the new logo, but how the new logo can come to life in more than just a mark. It's on we created this animation to show how the old one turns to the new one, and then how you can use it from everything from signage to apparel to, I mean, almost anything. And
a lot of shopping bags, I'm sure.
Yeah, shopping bags and embroidery, and they have branded every tchotchke you can think of.
Cupcakes.
And they keep sending it to us. But it's been a really exciting.
I got cupcakes right here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, sorry, Mall of America blog.
But it's been pretty exciting, and one of the things that we're still kind of amazed that this was launched on the Dyline and on Brand New, and there's very, very few negative comments, and you know
is rare.
It's so rare, and we feel like we're good at what we do, but we get slammed.
Well, I mean,
everything.
Brand New is built to slam people. That's,
exactly.
The whole thing is just built as a.
It's actually its mission statement. It's the first line. And if you go view source, it's in the code. Here
slam.
Be the slamming.
Right. And this is the best. I mean, if I had to guess a percentage on positive versus negative for this, it's just been astonishing. I mean,
man,
we're really excited.
I wonder if Armin keeps stats on that.
I'm sure he does. Armin's pretty good with numbers.
All right. Is he here?
And he's a smart guy. I don't know. I don't know if Armin's
I haven't him. Seen him saying it. Well, if we find him, if he is here, Armin, we're coming for you.
Find the stats.
Yeah, we're going to bring up your data, and we're going to find out if this is the most popular logo rebrand. This is hot stuff. This is what I was talking about. Just even on the Mall of America blog, just, you know, here's the logo, here's how it extends, here's variations, here's the pattern work.
And it's also very modern. It's multiple transparencies. It's got, what, about 10 colors in the
hot fluorescent gradients,
right?
You know, before Johnny Ive made it cool.
Yeah, so when our design professor says don't use gradients, don't use, like,
I don't even know if that guy's still alive.
Don't use, like, 18 colors. I mean, and then you break all these rules and it still looks good.
Yeah. Do you think he still runs game on no gradients? Because I feel like the world has moved on from that.
I don't,
sidebar
I don't know.
Conversation here. Especially,
I'm guessing if he saw this, he'd let it pass.
It takes. I don't know about you guys. I have the beta of.
I'm guessing
iOS
our professor
7
would
here.
give that
lots
a grade
of
about a C plus.
He would hate this.
C plus slash B minus.
How do you feel about iOS 7? This is the bastardized iPhone 4 version. So everything that's gray should be transparent and blurry and awesome, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to try it.
It's mostly, we're just like, chat is
Nate has brought
hotness.
Up his phone and to look up the thing, and he's
just like down. Little details.
You got
like
you downloaded
simplified.
The beta of
yeah.
the iOS 7 on your phone so that
yeah.
you can see how flat it is.
Because I gave Apple $100 a couple months ago.
Don't they have like a drop screen that allows you to...
Yeah, actually, that's one of the best parts.
That's the most exciting part
notifications.
For me.
This was super exciting while
that.
Traveling. Yeah.
Yes.
Swiping up from the bottom, and I was just like, airplane mode.
Yep.
Turn on Bluetooth. That's great. And then actually the best button is the flashlight button. It's
right
dedicated,
there.
Killing dozens of horrible ad-based flashlight apps. I'm really excited about that. Yeah, that's probably the coolest part
yeah,
right there.
But that's cool.
Lots of hot fluorescent gradients there too. So you guys actually are probably setting the tone.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure Mall of America launched before that keynote. Am I right? I don't know.
You are right.
Okay.
So I think Apple maybe... Learn
yeah.
from us.
I wouldn't
okay.
doubt
Let's
it.
Go
yeah.
with that.
Just
Let's
like everyone else, really. Set
right.
the tone.
All right, Joseph, so you guys have rebranded the Mall of America,
uh-huh.
which is obviously the Mall of America.
Right.
You've done the spirits you talk about.
Yes.
You branded the islands of the Bahamas. I'm trying to think what else. Starbucks, Diet Coke.
Arch Deluxe, which was the first logo I ever noticed
but
as being
out of,
good.
Out of all this stuff, what is the thing that you personally like would like to brand?
Oh, what I would like to brand that I haven't.
Yeah. Like what's left?
Yeah, where's the challenge?
You know, I always look, probably like many designers, I always look for brands that relate to me. I'm a huge cyclist. We got to brand Nice Ride Minnesota, which is the bike share program in Minneapolis. So that was a gift, but I would do, you know, cycling companies. I'm a skier. I'd like to do downhill skis. I'd like to do any of those kind of adventure sport type things. I don't have a specific brand, but
no, I love it's fun. It's fun that, you know, no matter how big and profile this stuff is, it's nice to hear you still just like to work on the stuff that you would use.
Absolutely. When any project where I find myself being the target audience, like tequila to a bicycle, and I'm designing for me, and I'll never forget our former creative director Dan Olson. I was designing, and he said, I said, what do you think about this identity? Is this working? And he said, well, you're the target. This is for a helmet camera company called Vio. He said, well, you're the target. So would you like that decal on the back of your car? And I said, no, not quite yet. And he said, well, bring it back to me when it's something you'd like. And that's stuck with me for about 10 years now.
Right? That's it right there.
So if I can find myself into whatever the project is and kind of put myself into the mind of the consumer, it's a pretty good filter to design from.
No, that's great advice. Nate, it's great to have you back. You're going to be back on the show a couple times here.
Doing two more of these. I have no idea in what order they are going to air. But they are with my besties, Debbie, and then Ken and Jen, Visacchio Grady.
Yes. And Joseph, it was fantastic to have you back on the show, or on the show for the first time, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess you guys have hung out before. I just met you because Donovan found you in the men's room downstairs. Here's this guy I just found in the men's room, Nate. Let's put a microphone in front of him.
Perfect.
And maybe we'll talk about design. Oh, shit, it's Joseph Duffy. Okay. That's a word.
We'll
it's
see.
Great to meet you.
We'll
Thank
see
you very much.
We'll see who
time.
We find
Thank
out you. In the men's room next week. Until then, thanks for listening.
It's going to be harder to find Debbie because it's a more difficult bathroom to get into when you're
only
you.
Think that.
You let me know if I need to send my wife in to find, go to all the bathrooms, try to find Debbie.
Now, we don't find more than 30 to 40% of the guests this way. I just got to throw that out on the air. All right, that's it.
What does that say about me?
you're with 30 to 40% of our guests, you're fine.
Okay, right. Good.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Reflex Blue Show. For more information, visit 36point.com. The Reflex Blue Show was created by Donovan Beery and Nate Voss. Music by Ben Luders.